listener. Welcome to Spirit Magazine, July 2021. Many years ago, my brother and I decided to create a newsletter for our home called the E27 Times. That newsletter turned into a monthly gazette called the Happy Herald. The Happy Herald turned into Spirit, a monthly magazine which we continue to publish. It is our privilege and pleasure to share our writing and spirit with you. My name is Janu, and I am 16 years old and a junior in high school. I am deeply passionate about public policy, accessibility, and science, and find that these interests intersect in the human health, climate, and equity-based aspects of service. Writing and art have always been outlets for me. I am the editor-in-chief and co-founder of Spirit. And with that, once again, welcome to Spirit Magazine, July 2021. We start off right away with a very summary introduction to this month's edition. It's a scene from somewhere in New England, I believe Vermont, and features a large hill, a very bright, cloudy sky, and large tracts of farmland, interspersed with trees and houses and barns, all in the distance, not very clear to see. And there's a reminder on the cover to be present in the moment. There's a feature on the Tokyo Olympics on page 8, a folktale retold on page 9, and a piece about moving to safety on page 14. And all of this is on the cover. And now let's transition into the editorial note. Spirit, July 2021. Dear readers, I don't know how exactly to elucidate the thought behind this month's editorial letter. J.R.R. Tolkien puts it best, and it's to him that this month's quote is attributed. This month, my message is just a reminder to look out for the little things. There are so many beautiful things in our daily lives. Sometimes it gets too easy to get distracted by the hustle-bustle or by daily activities or by our own thoughts, and we miss out on the things that are good and bright and uplifting that exist all around us. Maybe try to go outside if you can and if the weather permits, because nature can be a mood booster. Let yourself appreciate the magnitude of all the life that surrounds you. Feel how intricate, how amazing it is that plants outside live and grow the way they do. How people around you fight all sorts of adversity and stay strong. How you yourself do that. And with that, inspire yourself to tackle another month ahead with some panache. Enjoy this edition, readers! With love, Editor Janu. That's editorjanu@gmail.com. I would love to hear any thoughts you have for me. editorjanu@gmail.com. P.S. A very classic book recommendation. Try The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. This is also available in audiobook format on Audible in numerous forms, and also, I believe, by the BBC. Quote of the month, July 2021. The world is indeed full of peril, and in it there are many dark places, but still there is much that is fair, and though in all lands love is now mingled with grief, it grows perhaps the greater. By J.R.R. Tolkien. Jane and the Fire by Janu. Now this is a story, it's a continuing story. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane, Paige, and Dawn are spying on the three thugs, both T's are capitalized, secret meeting in The Hungry Eagle, which is a coffee shop. When Jane's Uncle Wallace, who is apparently a detective, appears out of nowhere. The three thugs are terrified. Did they just give themselves up? Now, again, to insert a note here, Jane and the Fire is a continuing story. So if you're a little bit lost or are missing out on the context of this, you'd have to go back to behind past editions. Wallace Joyce, says Mr. Macaulay with an admirably calm smile under the circumstances. Long time no see, you old rascal. He chortles in a friendly way.
If I recall correctly, says Uncle Wallace, that was because you were in prison, Mr. Macaulay.
Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee? Mr. Macaulay says with a blasé smile.
Mr. Bennett and Mr. Peel look horrified.
I'm afraid I can't, says Uncle Wallace. I happen to be investigating an attempted burglary.
At the bank, Mr. Macaulay, that you previously have attempted to rob on multiple different occasions.
You wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you?
Up in the vent, an epiphany is taking place.
The bank, whispered Paige. It's across the street from the strange building at the park.
At that very moment, Mr. Macaulay sneezes, and Mr. Peel jumps and drops the fake newspaper.
All three thugs freeze, both T's are capitalized, as Uncle Wallace bends down and picks it up.
You parsnip, hisses Mr. Bennett at Mr. Peel in inarticulate wrath.
You clumsy, utter beet brute, how could you drop that paper?
It was Mr. Macaulay's fault, squeaks Mr. Peel. He was the one who invited Wallace to stay. Why on earth?
I like that, whispers Mr. Macaulay back indignantly. Blaming me after I was the calmest of us three. I was only inviting him to stay so that he wouldn't be suspicious of us.
It was you artichokes who've been acting.
Jane, Paige, and Don hear all of this, naturally. However, Uncle Wallace only looks on in mild confusion as the three thugs, both T's capitalized, were whispering furiously to each other. He, Uncle Wallace, could hardly hear anything but the odd mention of various vegetables. Uncle Wallace coughs loudly. The three thugs turn to him with identical expressions.
They look rather ill. In fact, Mr. Peel is beginning to turn green.
You look unwell, Mr. Peel, says Uncle Wallace.
Anyhow, enough palaver. I'm off. Good day.
The three thugs are delighted.
Are you really leaving? Asks Mr. Macaulay. Really and truly? Not going to stay for a coffee? Nothing I can do to change your mind?
Uncle Wallace looks slightly offended that the three thugs are so delighted at his departure.
Well, yes, I am, he says coldly. He begins to depart, but turns back.
But just do you remember, Mr. Macaulay?
I've got my eye on you. On you all.
And on that note, Uncle Wallace disappears into the growing throng of customers. Up in the vent, as at the corner table below, important realizations are being arrived at.
That settles it, Paige whispers.
These three thugs, both T's capitalized, are up to no good.
Agrees Don.
Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this, adds Jean.
I don't think it's safe to meet here now, says Mr. Bennett.
Give me the paper, says Mr. Macaulay.
What about tomorrow evening at Mr. Bennett's? Asks Mr. Peel.
They all nod and hurry away.
What will each of the parties be up to next? Listen on next month to find out.
And also, right here on this page is a photograph of a coffee shop. It's a very pretty coffee shop, as the Hungry Eagle is. And just as a reminder, Don and Paige are the children of the owners of the Hungry Eagle coffee shop. And it looks like this is going to be an important setting as the story progresses. So let's find out next month what's going to happen in Jane and the Fire. Fruit of the month, July 2021. Why You Shouldn't Fear Prickly Pear by Janu.
Let me be frank. Until now, my only experience with the prickly pear was from the Bear Necessities song in the Jungle Book.
Sing it with me now. Bear, look for the bear necessities, la la la.
And now I'm sure I've got that song stuck in your head. But anyway, though writing this guarantees that that cheerful tune will be stuck in my head for the rest of the day, I am more than willing to make that trade-off because prickly pear is quite the interesting piece of fruit. Prickly pear are the fruit of the cactus plant. Also called Opuntia ficus indica, prickly pear have long been cultivated in the tropical and warm southern regions.
Why should you look for prickly pear the next time you are grocery shopping? Here is the health benefit profile of prickly pear according to WebMD. Though the rind is prickly, the fruit inside is supposedly delicious and quite nutrient-rich, containing vitamins C, E, and K, along with calcium, magnesium, and beta-carotene. Eating cactus fruit promotes digestive health because prickly pears are good sources of potassium. Like many other fruits, prickly pears contain rather a lot of antioxidants. Some of these can help to reduce levels of cholesterol in the body, thereby promoting heart health. A single prickly pear contains 10 grams of carbohydrates, 4 grams of fiber, only 42 calories, and 1 gram of protein. It's very much a desert fruit. If you find a prickly pear, give it a try. Be sure to remove the prickles and the rind. If you know of another interesting fruit, let us know, and be sure to give us your thoughts on the prickly pear. There is an image here of the prickly pears themselves growing off of a cactus. And I'm not exactly sure where this image comes from, but it is very interesting. There's a lot of fruit on one single cactus. So, very much a desert fruit, I can see that. Next, we have The Funny by Thumbu. Good jokes only, and there's an image of Kermit the Frog covering his ears, if frogs have ears, his eyes, and his snout. Pogwee the Pickled Pear and Friends, a Spirit original. At the shipyard, we can see Boris the Banana, Otis the Orange, and Pogwee the Pickled Pear himself hopping off of a pickup truck. And they approach the edge of the dock, and all three of them are looking down the dock when they see at the corner, "Hey," says Pogwee, "there, at that corner, do you see that red bandana? Let's catch up to them. The bandana looks like the miraculous mushrooms," says Otis. And they all hurry around the corner. There's a large building here that says building number 99. And now, who is the mysterious bandana figure? Will the friends even have to go to Egypt? Find out in the next episode of Pogwee the Pickled Pear and Friends, a Spirit original. Now, Pogwee the Pickled Pear is a repeating story. So if you don't have the context, if you don't understand what is going on in this edition, this month's cartoon, be sure to check out our previous editions where we will have the rest of the Pogwee story. Now moving on to Jot Thoughts Reviews, critique on literature and more. The Call of the Wild. This is about the book by Jack London, and this review is by Janu. There are many novels about dogs out there. Some are mediocre, some are pretty good, and some are extraordinary. I think the intensely magnetic descriptiveness of The Call of the Wild by brilliant late 19th century author Jack London puts it into the latter category. This book is not for the faint of heart. It hurls the reader brutally into the merciless world of the quote-unquote Northland, also known as Alaska, the last frontier, over 100 years ago. We follow Buck, a spirited St. Bernard Shepherd mix, as he leaves sunny California for the quote-unquote primitive world, the frontier in the Alaskan wilderness, where gold has been discovered and where the weak don't survive. It's a shock, to say the least. Buck, however, is evidently a dog who belongs on the frontier. Jack London's book will transport you to another place and time and allows readers to understand, perhaps, the courage and sacrifice required to explore new and unforgiving territory. Be warned, it's violent. But the violence and exquisite vocabulary of the book are handled carefully and have a precise purpose: to bring the reader to the land of the midnight sun. And that goal, in my opinion, is met very, very well. This is a little picture of a puppy and also a larger image of Buck himself, a very fierce wolf-like dog almost, and he is standing in the rugged terrain of Alaska. and this book I have rated with 5 stars. To find The Call of the Wild, you could look on Project Gutenberg. That is a great source for many books published before, I believe, 1920, and The Call of the Wild does fall under that category. Also, you could listen to LibriVox, and where both of these, you know, initiatives aren't sponsored or partners of with Spirit, there are definitely amazing resources which I 100% recommend, and there are certainly many great audiobooks that you could find on LibriVox, and one of those is certainly The Call of the Wild. Next we have The Tokyo Olympic Games by Janu. Of course, there is the required Olympic medallion, Olympic logo here, with the 5 intertwined, interlocked rings. And here we go. Every 4 years, the entire world is brought together by one global athletic contest. Since the Greek Games in the time of the ancients, sport has united people like nothing else has. Despite the devastation of the global pandemic, the Tokyo Olympics this year have gone onwards and upwards, showcasing a startling, awe-inspiring collection of talent from every country. It's a testament to the incredible strength of these athletes, who have braved limitations in many forms to represent and bring honor to their home nations. But why should there be Olympic Games? Why must cities around the world host what is, in essence, just another game? Sport is important to development of the mind and body, as President Theodore Roosevelt once said. The games promote emphatic nationalistic pride. Sport always unites an audience, even though opposing sides may have a source of competition. The Olympic Games are part of history now, a tradition continued season after season, a global effort time after time to use sport to bridge divides. Great cities around the world are spotlighted by media on at least 6 continents. A renewed history of international cooperation, another source of national pride. The games offer the world an opportunity to spectate with the best. It wasn't always like this. A young French nobleman called Pierre de Coubertin organized an international coalition of athletes who competed in Athens hundreds of years after the original Greek games. The modern Olympics only began in 1896, and I hope they continue to inspire and connect people around the world hundreds of years into the future. And next we have Ye Olde Folk Tales, and this is our retold folk tale, and this month's story is called The Man Who Wished to Be Perfect. It's retold by Naveen. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful kingdom. Everyone in the kingdom was happy, as the king ruled with a just and kind heart. However, he himself was very worried. The queen had not yet born a child. Both knew that they needed an heir that would carry on the kingdom and ensure its prosperity. One day, a strange old man with an evil air about him came to the kingdom. He told the king and queen that if the queen swallowed an herb he gave her, she would have twins, but that the royal couple had to give him one of the boys. They did not like this deal, but agreed in order to fortify the kingdom's future. In time, 2 beautiful princes were born to the queen. They grew up to be powerful hunters, archers, and sword fighters. Both were intelligent and handsome, and were the apples of everyone in the kingdom's eyes. All who knew the story of the princes hoped that the old man would not come to claim his prize. When the boys were 16 years of age, however, the old man arrived at the palace. He cursed the family that if they did not fulfill their promise, both the boys
the king, the queen, and the entire kingdom would be turned to ashes. The king and the queen loved the boys equally. Both princes said, "I will go and my brother can stay." Neither wanted the other to have to leave, and both were willing to sacrifice their life in the palace for the other. Finally, the older, by a few minutes, brother set off with the man. Before he left, he planted a tree in the garden. He told his family that if the tree was green, he was healthy. If it was diseased, he was ill. If it withered, he was dead. The tree was to be an index of his life. And saying this, he bade them farewell, and the old man led him into the forest. On the way, a baby hawk saw him pass. It said to its mother, "Please, mother, that boy is so handsome and elegant, he must be a prince. Do let me join him." The mother hawk gave permission, and the hawk perched on the prince's shoulder. A puppy lying with its siblings and the mother did the same, and the old man, prince, hawk, and puppy walked further into the forest. The boy lived with a mendicant in his hut of leaves, far from the kingdom, and spent his days hunting and gathering flowers for the man's rituals. He was allowed to go where he pleased, but the man told him never to go north. One day, the prince shot at a deer, but it ran north. Not thinking of the direction, the prince followed it into a house, where a beautiful woman was waiting. "Play a game of dice with me," she begged, and the prince, enchanted, obeyed. In the game, the boy lost his puppy, his hawk, and finally, himself. The woman, who was a Rakshasi, which is another word for a demon, transformed into her true self and put the three into a hole, saving them for a meal. Back in the kingdom, the younger prince saw the tree dying. He grabbed his bow and rushed into the forest, eager to save his brother. On the way, the brothers of the hawk and puppy also requested his company, and the three went to find their siblings. The old man told the prince that his brother was being held by a Rakshasi and of where she dwelt. Following the false deer, they went into the Rakshasi's house, and there she was in the form of the beautiful woman. The boy bet that if he won a game of dice, the Rakshasi should produce a boy, hawk, and puppy, just like him and his friends. The Rakshasi greedily agreed, and she was aghast when the prince won. After the twin brother, Hawk, and Puppy were freed and reunited with the rescuers, they turned on the evil Rakshasi. She told them that, if they did not kill her, she would save their lives from the old man. The brothers were surprised and agreed. The Rakshasi told them that the old man was a mad follower of Kali. Instead of being a true believer in the goddess Kali's holy power, he thought that sacrificing 7 men would allow him to attain perfection. The demon told them the way to the old man's temple of Kali. When the princes and the animals arrived there, they saw 7 skulls and a place for the 6th and 7th. The skulls were happy to see the princes and told them that when they came to the temple with the old man, he would ask them to bow. When they, the princes, bowed, he would cut off their heads. The skulls told the princes how to outwit the man, and they went off gratefully. When the man brought them to the temple, he asked the boys to bow to Kali. They told him, as the skulls had planned, that they did not know how to bow, as they were princes and bowed to no one. Could he show them how to? The man agreed and bowed. As soon as he did so, the first skull leapt into the air and produced a sword.
After attacking the evil man, the skull threw him into a deep chasm. After this, Kali appeared and returned life to all the skulls. They became the handsome princes they once were, thanked her, and returned to their kingdoms. Kali provided the twin princes with the perfection that the old man sought, as she hated his evil ways and wished to reward the boys. The princes returned to their mother and father, and the entire kingdom rejoiced. Moral of the story: good will triumph. Next we have letters to the editor, and please send yours to editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu@gmail.com. Dear editor, thank you for delivering a dose of cheer just when it's needed. To me, spirit is like the song that instantly boosts your mood. I'm getting quite invested in this Jane's adventures. I remember you wrote about trying the Charles Dickens method of a continuous story. It's working well, I'd say. Keep at it and always try to improve. From Janie. Hi, Janu. I hope this gets into the letters page. I tried out some of the recipes. Thanks for the fruit pieces every month. Can we see some more unique fruit? Also, Naveen's writing is awesome. I find myself looking forward to the retold folktales. Would love to see more. Good work all around. From Philippe. I'm always happy to see your spirit email pop up in my inbox. The Dead Poets Society quote in last month's editorial made me smile. I used to watch that movie a lot as a kid. I also enjoyed the Dick Weddington story. Plantains, hey? Might need to give them a try. Also, I read this fascinating book recently, Catch 22. Review? From Mrs. Morrissey. Thank you very much to everyone whose emails came in this month. It's always such a pleasure to hear what the readers and listeners have to say, and I'd always, always love to hear more. So please tell me your thoughts via email. Next, we have our Spirit Athletics, and this month we're going to learn about golf's newest superstar, Colin Morikawa, by Garuda. And here we have an image of Colin Morikawa himself, and he's offering a thumbs up to the camera. Colin Morikawa is a 24-year-old American professional golfer who won the 2021 British Open Championship, played at Royal St. George's Golf Club in Sandwich, England. He became a professional golfer and started playing in PGA tournaments merely 2 years back, in June of 2019, and won just as many majors, two. Morikawa becomes the first Golf Open debutante to win since Ben Curtis did the same at Royal St. George's in 2003. He won his first major on the US PGA Championship debut last year and joined an elite group of golfers, including Tiger Woods, who at least won one major championship at the age of 24 or younger. And he is the first golfer ever, male or female, to win two majors as a debutante. Born in California to parents Debbie and Blaine Morikawa, Morikawa is of Japanese-Chinese descent. He graduated from La Canada High School and played golf at the University of California, Berkeley, winning five times, including at the 2019 Pac-12 Championship. In May 2018, he was the number one ranked golfer in the World Amateur Golf Ranking. In this flamboyant, noisy, glamorous social media age, Morikawa is calm and humble in victory.
He is making the winning of major championships so normal. I have had belief in myself since turning pro that I can do it. I want more, he said. Congratulations, champion. Next, we have Wellness Central. Here's to health and happiness. And there's an image here of a little boy in school reading a book wearing a face mask. Transitioning out of COVID-19 by Janu. As mask mandates are removed and things begin to return to quote-unquote normal, we have many causes to be happy. For one thing, the devastating loss of life and livelihood of the past 2 years is coming to an end. It's heartwarming to see people's faces without masks again. It is also alarming. Though many activities have returned to pre-COVID status, being cautious is important. Experts are stressing the importance of being vaccinated. Be sure to take the small steps that you and your family feel are necessary to your staying well. According to the CDC, even fully vaccinated people should wear a mask indoors if in areas of quote-unquote substantial or high transmission. Even if you are vaccinated, you can still choose to wear a mask. Pay close attention to reputable news sources and organizations like the CDC, FEMA, and other governmental sources of information to stay up to date with regulations. Watch out for symptoms of COVID and be sure to follow safety rules in public places. By doing our individual best to stay well and be safe, we can transition as a global community to a safer, better time. Ask Clever Callie. Send your questions to editorjanu@gmail.com. Dear Clever Callie, time zones confuse me. Why do we even have time zones? I don't understand the ending of Around the World in 80 Days for just that reason. Can you, quote-unquote, gain time by flying towards the sun? Please help. Sincerely, Untimely Ursula. Dear Ursula, looks like it's time for some clarification. Time zones exist because the sun seems to rise and set at different times for different people in different places around the world. This in turn is because the Earth rotates on an axis as it revolves around the world. You gain time as you fly east because the sun appears to be rising higher in the sky. You lose time when you fly west because the sun looks lower in the sky, according to NASA. Jules Verne, the author of Around the World in 80 Days, applied this principle to his magnificent science fiction plot. From Clever Collie. Dear Clever Collie, why is the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York? Sincerely, baseball fan BJ. Well, BJ, there was a myth that Abner Doubleday had invented baseball in Cooperstown. Mr. Stephen Clark, a notable philanthropist, established the Hall of Fame to preserve memories of America's pastime. The first induction took place in 1939, and the rest, as they say, is history. From Clever Collie. Now here we have the fine arts column, and first there is an image of 3 Mile Point, which is located on Lake Otsego in upstate New York. And this image is a digital photograph taken by VJ. And next we have another digital photograph. It's titled, I Can't Believe I Got This Close to a Deer by Naveen. And it's a very, very close picture of a deer on a wide field somewhere in some kind of wood, surrounded by trees, and the deer is right there. I also cannot believe you got this close to a deer. So a very exciting, very cool picture. Thank you, Naveen. And finally, there's a picture I took of a field
and sunlight breaking through the clouds. I was very struck by the beauty of the sky on this day. It's titled Town and Country by Janu. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu@gmail.com with inquiries. And that concludes this month's edition of Spirit. So Spirit July 2021, all completed. Thank you so much for coming along on this little adventure with us. We're so grateful and feel so fortunate to be able to share our work with you. And we'd love absolutely to hear any of your thoughts about it. So go ahead and email editorjanu@gmail.com to learn more. Also, we're working on making Spirit further more accessible by publishing our work on thehappyherald.org, on that website domain on the World Wide Web, thehappyherald.org. So if you get a chance, please do go explore there. As of now, that website is still a little bit of a work in progress, but we'd love to have any of your thoughts on it if you'd like to go take a peep. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next month with Spirit August. So Spirit July 2021 closes now. Bye!